Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle of today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain, even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from the account of St. Luke. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And going up into the ships, one of the ships that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon, answering, said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke, and they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they were almost sinking. Which, when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Thus ends the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, today St. Paul reminds us of the glories and the joys of heaven so that we can have the necessary strength to endure all the sufferings of this life, so that we do not lose hope, so that we do not merely just seek pleasure for itself to receive any joy that we can during the sufferings of this life. He reminds us that there is a far greater joy if we remain faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ through all the sufferings of this life. But we do have to remember that suffering is not just something that we have to endure. It's not just something that we have to put up with right now until we can experience the joys of heaven. God, in his wonderful providence, has given it a real value for us. He has made it the very means of attaining the joys of heaven. We have to offer up our sufferings in reparation for our past sins, but also for the sins of others. And I especially want to focus on looking for the salvation of our neighbor and doing this apostolate through our suffering and offering up our suffering to our Lord for their salvation. No matter what we do in this life, we will always have a certain influence on all those that we come in contact with. This is because we are social creatures. We live in society. And whether we like it or not, we will always have an effect on our neighbor, whether for good or for bad. And we can have a very great effect on them in the way that we bear our sufferings. If we only complain about our sufferings, we always show that we only want to get away from those sufferings, then we will encourage the spirit of the world, which only sees suffering as something to be avoided. It sees it only as an evil. It has no value for us. If we always complain about our sufferings, we will only help people, encourage people in that bad spirit. So we have to always try to avoid that. We have to no longer see suffering as just being something that's inescapable, something that makes us miserable in this life, and then just something to be avoided. We have to remember it has a special value for us in the Catholic faith. And for those in the world who do not have the Catholic faith, it is just something to be avoided. It is something that they want to escape from but cannot, and so they are left miserable in this life. They have nothing really to look for. Their desire is to escape it, and they cannot. But for the Catholic, who, if we bear it with patience, our sufferings can draw a real fruit from them. So we have to be sure to bear our sufferings with patience, with resignation, and that will, just doing that without saying anything, it will strike our neighbor. It will surprise them, make them think, why is this person so content with his sufferings? Why is he so patient? Why is he so joyful even in his sufferings? This itself will help show them that we are not meant for the joys of this life, that we are meant for the joys of heaven. And so it really elevates them and it even helps us. If we never had any suffering, we would only seek the joys of this life. We would be content only with the joys of this life and then no longer look for the joys of heaven. We have to really see all of our sufferings as a treasure from God, both for us and for our neighbor. But they will only bear fruit if we do bear them with patience. Even more powerful than setting this example, this mere example for our neighbor, we have to offer all of our sufferings in union with our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That is where all our suffering has received its value. It received its value from all of the merits of our Lord in his passion and death. And so we have to bear all of our sufferings in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. By offering up these sufferings in union with our Lord, we enter directly into the work of salvation. And this is something that God has demanded for the work of salvation. He wants to work through us. He wants us to be the instruments of the salvation of mankind. He desires our cooperation. He does not need us. He could just as easily, if not easier, work the salvation of mankind without us. But he wants to unite us in this good work. He wants us to share in the joys of helping to lift a soul out of sin, of meriting graces for the souls of, for all those in the world who do not realize the value of suffering, who do not have the treasure of sanctifying grace, the treasure of the Catholic faith. He wants to allow us to share in that work, and then in the next life, in heaven, to share in the glories of that. So just as our Lord died on the cross, we have to pray and suffer in reparation for the sins of others. The Blessed Virgin Mary at Fatima told the three children, she said that many souls go to hell because they have no one to pray for them. There are souls who will only receive graces, the graces they need, if we offer our sufferings for them, if we do cooperate with the graces that our Lord gives us, to merit those graces for sinners, to merit that grace of conversion for a sinner. We have to offer all these up because God, he does want certain souls to be saved with our cooperation. He has made that a condition for their salvation. And so the three Fatima children, seeing all the souls falling into hell because they do not have anyone to pray for them, they were filled with this fire for suffering, this zeal to convert sinners. And so all of the sufferings that they endured, whether they were voluntary or not, they offered all of them for these souls who are going to hell. And they were able to enter into this so much because they saw suffering with the eyes of faith. If we look at suffering only on the natural level, it is, again, just something to be avoided. It's just something that is completely fruitless. That is how the world sees suffering. We have to always look at suffering with the eyes of faith, and that is what will give it value. That is what will help us to really embrace suffering and to embrace it with joy. We see the fruits of having this faith, this simple faith, in today's gospel. We see St. Peter, he is a fisherman by trade. He knows his work well, and he spent his whole night fishing and had no fruit for all of his labor. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, who was merely just a carpenter in the eyes of men, he tells him to launch out and to cast his nets. Naturally, again, this seems to be completely unreasonable. This fisherman who knows his work is listening to a carpenter. Anyone in that situation would normally just disregard what our Lord had said, thinking that he would actually knows better. But St. Peter, having this faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, obeys, and then this great miracle is worked. And so we have to, like St. Peter, have that faith and look at our suffering, know that when we offer our sufferings in union with our Lord Jesus Christ, they do have a value. They will work the conversion and the salvation of sinners. And so we have to have all this approach to suffering with this faith. We have to see everything as coming from God, as really as a treasure from God, whether it's insults, setbacks, sicknesses. God sends us all of these sufferings so that we can make reparation for our sins, so we can work our salvation and that of our neighbors, so that we can help more souls to share in those joys of heaven. But we have to, again, unite all of these sufferings with our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already suffered more than we can suffer. We have to remember that it is only in union with him. It is not by us alone. The work of salvation is completely above our capabilities. So we always have to ask our Lord Jesus Christ for this grace to be united to him and to have that same intention of enduring all these sufferings for the conversion of sinners. And finally, let us go to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who merited the title of the co-redemptrix. Throughout her whole life, she was always with suffering. She saw her son persecuted and hated throughout his life, and this always caused her a very great suffering. She knew who he was. She knew that he was God and that he came for the salvation of sinners. And then all these sinners are persecuting him. They hate him. And so this caused her a very great suffering because she knew that these sinners were only working their own damnation. And then her sufferings reached their climax with our Lord's death on the cross. This was the final rejection of our Lord by mankind. And so this caused her the greatest amount of suffering. She was offering which was most dear to her son and her God. But through all of this, there was never any desire to escape this suffering because she saw it with these eyes of faith. She knew that this was all being endured for the salvation of mankind. That was the purpose of it. And so she accepted all of these sufferings with the greatest generosity possible. So let us ask her for that grace to be able to imitate her in her great sufferings so that we can also, like her, be instruments of God's grace for the salvation of souls. Ask for that grace to be able to offer your sufferings and make them fruitful, not to let them go to waste. They really are a very great treasure given to us from God. And so we want to always accept everything coming from God as the treasure that it is. He knows what is good for our soul. And so we always have to ask for that grace to know that whatever it is, whether it's good or bad, it is really to be seen as a treasure from God, both for us and for our neighbor. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.